Welcome back to another edition of the Hammer Lane podcast, brought to you by Seelens Grove Ford. I am joined here with Paul Gower. Paul, how are you doing?
Yo, how are you doing?
I'm okay. It was almost 70 in Minnesota, so I can't complain.
No doubt. That's pretty good for Minnesota this time of year.
Yes. No snow on the ground in my area, so it's definitely weird, but I'll take it.
Absolutely.
So let's just get right into it. We have some news. Actually, some big news. I know it's not 410 Sprint Car Racing news, but World Racing Group has acquired the ASCS just recently here. And I think some people saw it coming, but this is pretty big. Pretty big news.
Yeah, real big news. I mean, 360 drivers that ran the ASCS, there was a lot of uncertainty if a season whatever would happen for them this year. World Racing Group came in, purchased the series, and I see this personally as a win-win situation for both ends, for the drivers, the teams, and World Racing Group. They put a nice point fund together, over $150,000 point fund at the end of the year, and they have a nice schedule carved out for them. I personally would love, I don't know if it will happen, I'd love to see them kind of throw some ASCS shows in with some outlaw shows, maybe somewhere out there in the Midwest or in the South. They could really benefit from that and maybe pull some extra fans in.
Yeah, there's some excellent racing in the ASCS. And if you look at the World of Outlaws, there's a lot of talent sprinkled in with the ASCS. Those drivers, you know, like Landon Crawley ran a lot with the ASCS. You go back, you know, to when Darren Pittman raced with them. There's just so much talent. And you look at the drivers now, like a Blake Hahn, Matt Covington, some excellent drivers, very hard racing. And, you know, I see this as a win-win, like you mentioned, for both sides. And I'm just glad those drivers now have an actual schedule. They can actually race and not have to worry about what's going on, where are we going, what are we doing. And they can make some solid plans and race for some good money.
Right. And it really helps out the fans in the Midwest and especially down South. That is their bread and butter when it comes to wing racing, the 360s. Great, great racing. Like you said, the ASCS puts on excellent shows. I've never seen a bad one. I've seen a handful. Everyone has been good. Very talent-laden field every time I've seen them. And it really is nice for the fans and the drivers, as you said, that they have a schedule to go by and some excellent racing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a win-win. And it would be neat to see some combined shows with the 360s and the 410s, now that World Racing Group has them, and they could easily do it. But right. Will it happen? Time will tell. And, right. You know, it would be neat to see because, you know, talk about ultimate bang for your buck. You get to see the top 360 drivers with the arguably the top 410 drivers with the World of Outlaws. And as a fan, what more can you ask for?
Exactly. Exactly. Hopefully someday we'll see it. It may be just a pipe dream, but it would really be neat to see.
Yeah. It certainly would. And speaking of the World of Outlaws, they were back at Volusia, and Donnie Schatz took advantage of a unfortunate mishap with Buddy Kofoid just after the halfway point of that race, where Buddy Kofoid actually cut a left rear tire while leading, and he looked like to have control of the race. You know, Donnie was staying pretty close. But yeah, he picks up his first win of the year.
Great for Donnie, number 500 in his career total. Really cool to see. I'm a huge Donnie fan. If you're a sprint car fan, in my opinion, you should be a Donnie fan for what he stands for and what he represents for our sport. Really neat to see number 500, but I agree with you. I think Buddy had that one before the misfortune hit him. But it was kind of neat there seeing a Ford and a Toyota 1-2 for a while on a wide open racetrack. Not too often you can say that. I don't know how I don't know if that's ever happened where you had two different brands other than a Chevrolet up front.
Yeah, I don't recall that. I mean, I know, you know, in the late 80s, you know, when Bobby Davis was running the Ford.
Right.
And then you had Mopars came in.
Mopar was in there.
But never, I don't believe we've had three different, you know, engine right. manufacturers. And, you know, Volusia again was, I mean, top notch, fast.
Yeah, wide open, fast. They had fog rolling in, so that tells you how nice and moist the air was. And it was, I know it was a little bit cool. They had a great crowd, awesome crowd. That was, I attended that show last year. The car count was a little better last year for that show, but the fan count was down a little, I thought, the first year they had it. But this year, the place was packed, and I love seeing that.
Yeah, you can't complain when you look at the stands and you see a packed grandstands. That's good for the sport, good for the drivers. Right. And, you know, that's what we want to see at Sprint Car Racing is we want to see, you know, good, solid fan attendance at these races. And,
yes,
you know, especially right now with the whole, well, we can go, why go when we can watch it on, you know, at home, you know, where it's streamed. And, you know, it's just like going to any live event, you know, seeing it on TV is one thing, but actually seeing it in person is completely different. And mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in, you know, when you go to a sprint car race, you know, the sights, the sounds, the smells, you know, you sure as hell ain't getting that at home.
No, no. And you don't get the guy beside you. You can strike a conversation with, and hell, who knows, you could become best friends and start a podcast someday.
Yeah.
It's happened. But yeah. And the whole idea behind that show was because Bike Week was going on last year when they started this, was to get new fans there that have never seen it. And there's a lot of people there for Bike Week. If you've never been down there, trust me, it is insane the amount of people that are there for Bike Week at Daytona. And this year, they proved that works. I mean, that crowd was really nice, and I'm sure I'd be willing to bet probably close to half of them. It may have been their first show that they've ever seen, a sprint car show. So that's what we want.
Yes, new fans. And, you know, the few people that I've taken to races for the first time, they have always walked away like, wow.
Yeah,
this, how long has this been going on around here? And it's actually a pretty, it's not like, it's just not like a NASCAR where you can turn on a Sunday and, oh, you know, you see NASCAR at Phoenix, or you see him at Charlotte, or you see him at Bristol, and it's packed and it's heavily advertised. You know, I mean, there's lots of local dirt tracks everywhere, but when, you know, you actually go to a sprint car race and you see the best of the best in person for $25, $30, $35. That's ultimate bang for your buck, in my opinion, considering most professional sports tickets are way more than that. And it leaves you kind of shocked, like, wow, this is unbelievable. And the ultimate fan experience is there, where you can talk to the driver, you can touch the cars, you know, look at the haulers. It's just a complete fan experience.
Oh, absolutely. And it leaves people wanting more. I mean, usually if you get them to one, they're hooked, and they'll be like, wow, how did I not know this was ever going on? And then they'll ask you, when do they race again? Or do they race anywhere else? And then it just goes on, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, especially when you take them, a lot of people that I have taken to their first race, when the World of Outlaws were at Deer Creek, and you know, it's a short track, and they get to see that acceleration and that, you know, as Blake Anderson would say, jet fighters inside a gymnasium atmosphere, mm-hmm. where there's just constant action going on. And then if you can get them to go to a Knoxville, or at the time when Jackson was a half mile, then you could get them to see the raw speed and power,
right.
On how versatile these cars really are. And after, if you can get them to a short track and to a half mile, then you're like, wow, okay, now we truly appreciate these cars.
Yes. The two biggest things I think for first time fans are the overload of the senses. You get the cars out there at speed and it's just a sensory overload. That's the best way I can describe it. You can feel it, you can smell it, you can see it, can hear it. And then the next biggest thing I've noticed with people that have never been there is when they line up for the A Main and they kind of look at you and they're like, are they starting all these cars at one time? And you're like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, how in the hell are they going to get through the turn without crashing? It's like, they do, man. I promise you, they do. Usually.
Right.
But yeah, that's the first two things that just blows their mind that I've noticed.
Yeah, and I'm glad that the stands were packed at Volusia because
yes,
that place is scary fast, produces great racing. I love Volusia.
Yes.
You know, I've only been there one time, and I was floored every time I left that facility at the end of the night. And
definitely a top five track in my book. That's just my opinion, but definitely top five track.
Yeah, they get it going. And, you know, especially when you get there in the beginning of the year, when everyone's all excited to get going, and it, in a way it's a mini nationals. You know, you're not getting 110 cars like the Knoxville Nationals, but you get, you know, 35 to 40 good cars, really good yes. cars.
Yeah.
And
I don't always agree with Johnny Gibson, but he did say this year that he would put the field of cars at Volusia within the top five strength that you're going to see all year. And I would have to agree with him, especially this year. The talent that was there and the quality of cars was second to none. So it really, really is a great event to start the year with.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that, you know. And, you know, we also got to see Carson Macedo get back on track. I think a lot of people were kind of surprised after his opening weekend. Like, people were like, what's going on with the 41? It's like, well, it's a long season, and they're not always going to have good nights. Let's face it, they're going to have some nights they wish they could hit the reset button on, but the 41 was back in top form.
Yeah, the 41 and Carson, the JJR team, guys are going to have stretches where they have subpar races, especially what we expect from them. It just so happens, in my opinion, that theirs hit the first three, four races of the year. And I guarantee you there's going to be other guys, top contenders, that have three, four race stretches where things just don't go right or things just aren't clicking. So I think maybe we overreacted a little bit. I do want to throw in there, though, thinking about this in hindsight, the 41 replaced a lot of key crew members. Granted, Phil Dietz is still there, and Phil Dietz is Phil Dietz. We don't need to introduce him or let anybody know who that is, but they lost Clyde and they lost Nate, two huge guys on that crew. So there is going to be some growing pains this year, I think, to start the year out, but they're going to be fine, guys, really.
Yeah. Yeah. The 41 car is top notch. You know,
yeah.
Phil Dietz is, you know, he's got the ship sailing in the right direction, you know, and he has for a very long time. And, you know, just like you mentioned, it's going to be, you know, maybe a little different, you know, but they're in Texas right now, you know, short tracks, and Carson likes his short tracks, you know, where he honed his skills in California, where there's loads of short tracks, and they're going to be fine. They're still top five in points, in my opinion. And there's no need to panic. And we're only in March.
Right. And I want to throw in there, we talked about the crowd at Volusia for this race. And all those first-time fans there, I'm gonna let everybody know, not one of them cared that there were only 18 cars there. Because guess what? It was still a hell of a show. And
yeah,
we're going to get into this whole car count thing that everybody was losing their minds over for whatever reason when this race went down. But nobody there cared that there was only 18 cars. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, you can elaborate on that, Joe. We can get into that right now, actually, since we were talking about that. And, you know, I think, honestly, people just need to chill out. And it doesn't matter. There was some weather in the area, and they had to cancel on Sunday. And, you know, teams went home, and, you know, which is their right. If they don't want to run, they don't have to run. And, but the cars that stuck around, they race hard. I mean, this is a World of Outlaw show, and there's good money on the line, and there's no need to panic about car count. I mean, I think it just got so blown out of proportion where, yeah, you would love to see, you know, 30 cars, you know, in a perfect world, you'd love to see a you know, 30 cars or more, but, you know, in the end, they put on a good show, and the stands were packed, and it's March. There's going to be some places where high limit's going to go, where they're going to be, the car count won't be as high, and the fans aren't going to be around as much, you know, like we saw at Golden Isles on their opening night. And, you know, the World of Outlaws also will probably go to some areas as well where there's not as many cars, and, you know, it's just how it is. And, but they're going to get through it. The racing is always pretty damn good for the most part. And, you know, I think we all just need to take a chill pill.
Relax. It's fine. And I'm going to, and I know you have, and I have, I've seen races that had 70 cars in competition and the race was lousy. And I've seen races where there were 16 cars in attendance and it was one of the best races I saw of the year. So is car count nice? Absolutely. Does it mean it's going to be a good race? No, it doesn't. And when you're in an area that isn't a 410 area, this is what happens. I mean, it happens every year they go to New York, which they did cut down some of the shows in New York now. But I mean, you can't find a 410 in New York, no matter where you go. So you were happy if you got a full field. And that was with eight of them being 360s from the ESS.
Right.
So it's nothing new. But for some reason this week, this particular week, people lost their damn minds. I don't know.
I think we're just at the beginning with the whole, you know, World of Outlaw high limit deal.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
It's probably not going away. It is what it is. But yeah, they saw some good racing in Florida. And as a fan, hey, I'm fine. I try to ignore all the negativity and try to stay positive and look at the outcome, the positive outcome of it.
Right. It was the first time I got to see the format that they do when they have a lower car count, which I thought was pretty cool with the top four. And then they had the qualifiers. It was, yeah, that was kind of new to everybody. That's the first I've ever seen it.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was one of the most fair ways to line them up.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, you know, and speaking of formats, we're going to talk about formats.
Yeah, that was our plan.
Yeah, and we can get into formats right now, you know, kind of shifting gears a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of different formats that are out there, you know, and if you talk to, you know, 10 people, and if you ask them, do you like the Outlaw format? Some will say yes, some will say no. If you ask them if they like the Knoxville Nationals format, some will say yes, some will say no. Same with the Kings Royal. You know, I honestly, as a fan, you know, I want to see these guys, I want to see them race, you know, and I, as a fan, now as a, and seeing these guys and knowing some of the drivers and teams, you know, I can understand where they are coming from, where, especially now, where these cars and are so equal and it's tough to pass out there. And so when you go to a Knoxville Nationals and you qualify in your preliminary night and they invert 8, which it used to be 10, it used to be fast guys in the back, which was awesome in my opinion. And
same,
you know, it was neat. I mean, it just had a different feel and it just felt like things were just, the atmosphere was just cranked up a lot more walking into that night at the Knoxville Nationals.
It was intense.
Same at the Kings Royal too. And
yes,
it's intense. I mean, you could feel it and there's a lot on the line. And you know, what the way the cars are now, you know, they move them up to 8 and some guys, you know, sometimes they get lucky and they can just get to 4th, but they have to fight for it. And then other times they get the right break and they can find themselves in 2nd or even in the lead. We've seen that before in the past couple of years. You know, I mean, David Gravel had a perfect night not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, correct. You know, so it could be done. I'm not saying a perfect night all the time, but you know, you can move around. If you got your car working, it can, you know, you can go forward. It's tough, but I like the Nationals format. I like the Kings Royal format, and I think it makes it interesting for everybody, the fans, the drivers, and I'm not taking anything away from, you know, the World of Outlaw format, High Limit format, Speed Week format. I love the Kings Royal and the Knoxville Nationals formats.
Same. The Kings Royal format is my personal favorite as a fan's point of view. I just love how they line that up. They invert. They have 6 heats. They invert 6. Winner of the 6th heat starts on the pole. Can't beat it. That format is just really unique and really cool how it's run. It's its own thing. The Nationals format, people really started griping about 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember. They had the first night. And none of the fast guys could transfer. And it was one of those deals. The track was heavy, kind of narrow, and guys had trouble transferring out of the heat. And everybody was having a fit. This needs to be changed, and that needs to be changed. And then the next night, qualifying night, a couple of the guys made it, but there were still some grumblings. And of course, 2023, it continued again at the Nationals. And then lo and behold, because nobody was transferring, I don't know if you remember this, Joe, last year. And then lo and behold, when everybody said it can never be done, we get to the heat that had Logan Schuchart 7th and David Gravel starting 8th. And do you remember what happened? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They finished 1st and 2nd in that heat. So, yes, it can be done. And that's what makes the Nationals the Nationals. I think it's a great format. I love it. I think it's a little heavy on the qualifying end as far as the point structure of it for their seedings. But I get why they do that, because passing nowadays is at a premium. So I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think with the qualifying, I would agree with you 100% with it's very heavy on the qualifying and, you know, and then their heat races, you know, also are, they're a lot lighter because I think you get 100 for a heat win and 100 points for a heat race win at the Knoxville Nationals. But man, it's tough.
I just think they should be equal. That's just me, because I'm like you. I want to see them race, and I think every fan wants to see them race. But I get the driver and business side of it, and owner side of it as well. I get it. You know, I'm the fastest guy out there. That should mean something. So I get it. I mean, I'm not against it. Just saying, as a fan, what I like to see.
Yeah, and I think last year, I know Kyle Larson won the Knoxville Nationals, but I don't think he was the fastest car on the track that night. The two car was,
yeah, the two car and the 1S. The 1S was,
yeah.
So he unloaded, and then at the end it was the two car. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean, and the two car came from like 22nd. So, yeah. You know, it's just neat. I just love watching these cars and these drivers, because especially when they come from the back, I get exactly what you're saying. You know, hey, I'm the fastest car here. Why are we up front? I get it. You know, and people were like, oh yeah, well, Craig Kinzer won the Knoxville Nationals, but he won it from the front row. Well, let me tell you something. He ran 30 laps. He didn't make any mistakes. He could have made mistakes, but he didn't. And he earned it. He earned the right to start up front, and he didn't make any mistakes, and he won the Knoxville Nationals. And, yep. You know, hats off to him. You know, he did what he had to do. Well, it's the same thing when you have a driver starting, you know, 10th. You know, he's got to drive a good race. It's a lot harder, but as a fan, you want to see these guys carve up the field and make their way forward. And case in point, I was at the front row challenge when Jack Hodenshield won it from the back, and that place went absolutely bananas. That was,
I still watch that video to this day. That was nuts.
Unreal. That was only like my third or fourth race that I attended when I first moved out here to the Midwest. That was one of my very good ones. It was neat, man. It was really neat. And there were some heavy hitters in that field that night.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah.
So, and Jack had some help with some yellows, but, you know,
That's part of it. It's, things need to fall your way. And going back to what you're saying about a guy winning from the pole, I don't know about you. I've seen a few races in my time, and I've seen a lot more lost from the pole than I have won. I will guarantee you that. So that doesn't hold water with me when people say, well, he won from the pole. Well, yeah, but he earned that spot, and he led when he needed to lead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, do you think the Nationals format and the Royal format should be changed again?
No, I do not. I think they're, Eldora is racy enough the way it's laid out, and typically how the track is for the Royal when it's hot and 100 degrees and it's slicked off and it's the last day of a 4-day event now. I think it's perfect. Knoxville, was I starting to think, maybe this format isn't really cut out for this, until I watched Logan and David go from 7th and 8th to 1st and 2nd and in their heat race. Then again, I was reaffirmed what I always thought, you can do it. Now, if you want to solve this whole problem, let's go back to dished wings and we won't have this problem anymore. But that's a topic for a different day.
Amen. I'm totally for that. And
yeah.
Yeah, I know the track prep at Knoxville is second to none.
That, yes.
I mean, normally they got that track on point for the Knoxville Nationals.
Yeah, that wasn't a dig at their track prep. It's just that their track prep is so good that that's sometimes their own worst enemy when it comes to a format like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it certainly doesn't help with these cars they're so damn equal now, where everyone's got, especially for the Knoxville Nationals, and the Kings Royal, guys are bringing out the best stuff that they have, and it's good, and it's good stuff. It's the best stuff that they can get, and we've seen it before. We've seen, you know, back when, you know, when Ryan Smith, you know, he proved, when he was in the, I believe it was the 57. You know, he was starting deep in the field, and you know, he moved up, I believe, top 5.
24th to 5th in the Calderno 7.
So it's it could be done, and you know, it's just, that's just how it is. And you know, I love the format. I don't think they should change it, you know. And honestly, I think it's good that the World of Outlaws have their format. I think it's good that the High Limit series has their format. I love the PA Speed Week format where, you know, it's different. And as a fan, I personally have never been to a PA Speed Week race. I would love to knock that off my bucket list. But it's really neat watching them, you know, because it's good to see something different. And
yeah, and the drivers and the fans kind of like the PA Speed Week format. They feel it's fair. I'm not one way or the other with it. I think it's a good format for the week-long show, and everybody's kind of accepted it, and they all like it. It's really well received.
That's crazy, man. Those PA Speed Week races are absolute battle royals all week.
Yeah. And getting back to, I mean, we're talking about formats and stuff. You were saying how close the cars are. My argument to that was, well, they should invert some cars. Well, you invert cars at any of these crown jewels. You invert the top 12. Guess what? You're going to have a damn good car or two damn good cars starting on the front row. I mean, we're talking at the Nationals and the Royal, especially, you're talking about guys that are separated by hundreds and tenths of a second from first to 12th as far as speed goes.
Right.
So I don't care who you take the top 12 out of either of those events. I don't care who you're putting on the front row. You're putting two good cars on the front row, period.
Yeah.
You do earn your spot. That's part of it.
Well, yeah, you will put drivers on the front row that can win races, that have won races anywhere in the country. I mean,
yes.
So, you know, we're talking Outlaws, you know, All-Stars from, you know, a couple years ago, you know, High Limit now, PA Speed Week shows. I mean, it's
same deal.
Yeah, same absolutely. Deal. And yeah. I mean, I just think that's part of the crown jewel drama. You just,
right.
If you try to pick 24 cars for that feature, there's always at least a handful of them you're like, I was not expecting that.
Exactly. And you know what? They're the two races that people are like, they go out of their way to buy the lineup sheet. You know, they want to see the points. Did you see the point? Did you see the points? Hey, did you get a look at points yet? That's part of the greatness of it. That's what makes it so epic, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it just adds, man, it just, those races just have a different feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from, you know, an Outlaw show or a High Limit show or even a local like Knoxville or you know, Williams Grove, Lincoln or Port Royal race. But there's something about when there's some big money on the line and I think fans are going to really feel it this year.
Oh,
with, yeah, you know,
there's some big races this year.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it's going to start, you know, Port Royal's got that Weikert Memorial paying $75K. That's a lot of money. And, you know, you got the High Bank Nationals. I mean, you got what, the Thursday night at High Bank's $100K. You got $250 on Saturday. Knoxville Nationals and Kings Royal. I mean, there's just some
classic this year's $83,000.
I mean, there's some serious, serious money out there. And
Gold Cup's what, $100,000 again this year? They bumped it up to $100,000.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's another one. I mean, it's gonna get silly. Silly.
Yeah, man. And it's just neat, man. It's just a good feeling, you know, to walk into these races knowing that, man, these guys are, you know, they're cranking it up a few more notches, that, you know, they're pushing it, you know, even further than what they probably normally are. So it's good to see. And, you know, and speaking of good to see, you know, it's good to see Kerry Madsen back. He had some news the other day that he is going to be back with the Vermeer 55. They are kind of starting a a regional based team, or when I say regional, let's just, they're going to stay in the general area, you know, Iowa, probably Minnesota's, Wisconsin's, the upper Midwest. They may do some traveling. You know, they're still kind of in the beginning part of this whole thing. But I love watching Kerry Madsen race. You know, he gives it 100%, you know, and he's definitely one that, you know, I always kind of keep an eye on when I go to the track.
I love watching Kerry drive, and I was really happy to see him get a ride for the season. I don't know what their exact plans are. Like you said, we know it's going to be in the Midwest. I kind of like to see him do like a Knoxville Husitz type of thing. I know he's not a point racer, but I mean, if Vermeer and him would decide to do point racing, he would definitely be in contention, I think, at either, if not both, Knoxville and Husitz. I know he does like Husitz. He told me that in person more than once. That was probably his favorite track in the United States. But I do love watching Kerry race. I miss him on tour. He was a guy. He was one of my favorites. I'll admit that. He still is. I love watching him manhandle a car.
Yeah, he's a gasser.
Yeah, yeah.
Complete gasser. And yeah, I look forward to seeing him, you know, this season as well. And, you know, it's just good to have racing back. You know, I know Lincoln is running, you know, some day shows right now, which they always do in the beginning of the year. And it's good to see Anthony Macri back in victory lane.
For sure.
You know, it's been a while since he's had a victory.
Right. Back in the family car, he looked really solid. Second half of that race, it was really turned into a show between him and Moody, and Matt Campbell was in that mix. It was really turned into a show, and then we had a red come out, and then it kind of changed the end of that race, and Macri walked away with it, but it was great to see him back in his winning form. And Lincoln's had two decent shows. I mean, they had decent weather the first 2 weeks, and this past week was crap. So everybody was washed out this past weekend. But first 2 weeks, they had some good day shows.
Yeah, you know, and Kyle Moody was pretty impressive too. He actually took the lead away from Macri in that race, and I believe he was scored the leader on that after that red right. when they restarted that race. He was the leader, and you know him and Anthony Macri were putting on a show there for a while, and. You know, Devin Borden was also the man on the move as well. I mean, he come from pretty deep to, I believe he finished fourth, if I'm not mistaken. So it's good to see, right. It's good to see the Daredevil back in the top five. And he's another fun driver to watch.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He's worth the price of admission every time you see him, especially on a smaller track like that. He's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just really, I know it's, you know, unfortunately with, you know, the weather in Texas, you know, we didn't get a chance to see the World of Outlaws this past weekend, and hopefully things cooperate and they can get back on track this weekend. And you know, that's the worst part about the beginning part of the season is the R word. And
yeah, Outlaws can't win in March. I mean, first they did a California thing in March, and they said, well, you know what, it rains every time out there, so we're gonna go to PA. So last year we had the Lincoln and Port Royal scheduled. Well, guess what, rain. So this year, well, we're gonna go to Texas. Guess what, rain. So March hasn't been real kind to the World Outlaws, unfortunately.
Well, I think the next best thing might be to go to Arizona.
That may be their only option at this point. I don't know what else to suggest to them. They've tried. I take my hat off to them. They've tried about every option they can to fill up March, and no matter what they pick lately, the last few years, it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy because, you know, they're other than Pennsylvania, there really isn't any other sprint car racing going on. There is some stuff going on in California,
right?
But you know, as far as like the World of Outlaws are concerned, you know, they're Mother Nature's not being nice to them right now. So hopefully that'll change this weekend, and you know, those fans down in Texas can see some good racing.
Yeah, they have a nice show at Cotton Bowl this weekend scheduled, and then they head into Oklahoma next weekend, the weekend after. So they have some good racing coming up.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, those Texas tracks, I mean, they're racy, racy places. I know a lot of the ASCS, you know, series has been down to a lot of those places, you know, years past. And, you know, I've seen highlights of, you know, in Cannondale and a lot of those places down in Texas on highlights. And yeah, they're awesome places. I mean, you know, quarter miles, sometimes they can get ice rink slick, and other times they can, you know, cushion right along the wall. So it's a good variety where it really pushes these drivers' skills. And, you know, there's a lot of drivers that are going to be down there in Texas to where, you know, because there really isn't a lot going on. So
right. Texas over the years has produced some really good drivers. I mean, people talk about Pennsylvania, California, Ohio, but Texas has produced a lot of good drivers over the years. So it's good racing in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back and, you can go back to the Bobby Marshall days, you know,
yeah.
Bobby Marshall, yes. From Dallas, Texas. And,
yes. Dublin, you know, Van May. I mean,
Gary Wright.
I was going to say Gary Wright, Ron Laney. Unfortunately, he had his life cut short, but he was a gasser and up and comer. Sam Haferty. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Texas. Yeah. I mean, you know, and right now, I mean, you have, you know, Reitzel can wheel with the best of them. Chase Randall is another one that's really turned some heads. And
yes.
Yeah. I mean, the sport's in a good place right now with these drivers. There are some really good drivers out there right now. And, you know, and from all ages. I mean, Landon Crawley, I mean, he's only 16, but it certainly doesn't look like it when he's out there. And, you know, and then you still have, you know, Donnie Schatz, who, you know, a lot of people have been like, he doesn't have anything left. It's like, yeah, well, yep, he can still win races, and he still has plenty left.
Yeah, I think, I'm hoping the doubters finally realize that they were really worried about nothing, because I think this year he's coming back with something to prove. I really do. I think they've got that program figured out, and it was the motor program and the power band that was the issue and not the driver.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Donnie is going to get everything out of that car, you know, probably one of the smartest drivers out there. I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, he's also very hands-on as well. So he knows his way around a car, and, you know, he's one of the smartest racers out there as well. So yeah, it was good to see Donnie pick up that win at Volusia, and, you know, he's always fun to watch. And yeah, I know a lot of fans have been like, oh yeah, you know, we've seen him win this, we've seen him win that. But, you know, it's just like I say, you know, these guys could be leading and they could make mistakes, and mistakes can cost them wins. And Donnie doesn't make too many mistakes. And it's just good to see that program, you know, back up front. And, you know, I have him on the podium for my top three this year. So in points with the World of Outlaws. So he's, you know, so far so good.
Absolutely.
So yeah, well, Paul, I think that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Hammer Lane podcast. You know, and again, we'd really like to thank Todd at Sealands Grove Ford for supporting us, and also would like to thank, you know, all of our supporters for listening.
For sure. Appreciate every one of you. Hit us up on social media or at the track if you see us. And next time, we're going to get these more often now, our podcasts out as the racing season picks up. I keep saying that, but that's the truth. We promise. Hopefully next time we have some Outlaw news results and Lincoln races this Saturday. Port Royal has a big modified show, 50,000 to win, so no 410s there. So we'll have some Lincoln and hopefully outlaw news from Texas.
Hope so. Hope that R word stays away. That's all we can hope for right now.
Yes.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks again. And thank you everyone for listening. And we will touch base again with everyone next week.
Thanks, everybody.